Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to worship the Lord and Savior. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning. We are excited that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house to worship. Now, we know that you are gathered in your houses this morning and your homes with your families to worship with us at First Baptist Elon, and we are thankful that you have decided to join us in worship this morning via Facebook Live, or you may be listening to this worship service this morning on our website at www.fbc-elon.org, and we are thankful that you have decided to join us for worship this day. We are in the season of Easter. This is the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter, as we are still celebrating the risen Lord this morning, and we are thankful that we are gathered as the body of Christ. While we may not be gathered here in the sanctuary at First Baptist Church of Elon, we know that as the body of Christ gathers, wherever two or more are gathered, that the Spirit of Christ is with us, and we are thankful for that. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. We want you to join us as we sing this morning. We want you to join us as we read Scripture this morning. We want you to join us as we read responsively this morning, and join us in prayer as we seek to celebrate and worship this morning with every ounce of our being. That is why we worship. That is why we gather for worship. That is why we hope that you have joined us for worship this morning, whether you are in Alamance County, whether you are in the state of North Carolina, whichever state you are in worshiping with us this day. We are thankful that we have an opportunity to gather in this opportunity, in this hour, as so many are gathered in this hour to worship the Lord and Savior this morning. This morning we will continue our sermon series that we'll talk about in just a few moments. But we are excited that we have the opportunity to gather and read His Word this morning. Our opening scripture this morning comes from Psalm 23. It is a psalm that many of us have been raised in memorizing this Word this morning. So I hope you will, as we gather this morning, I hope you'll read it with me. Our scripture reading passage is right behind me on the screen. But if you are gathered with me in your homes this morning, read it out loud with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We hold true those words from David this morning, and we hold true to those words as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Pray with me. Father God, gracious God, in the love You open wide the doors of worship this morning. And we welcome You into our presence this morning. We thank You, knowing that You gather with us. Saints and sinners alike, You gather with us this day. You spread a table before us just as You promise in Psalm 23. You fill us with the richest fare and the feast of love and mercy. Gather with us this day. We come with You in joy and anticipation of what You are going to do in worship with us this day. We can't wait to see how You are going to move us this day through song and through scripture and through prayer and through Your word this day. Father, we can't wait. That is why we gather here this day. That is why we can't wait. We anticipate how You are going to move in worship this day. Father, we can't wait. We are excited. We are excited that we gather here this day to worship the risen Lord. That is what worship is all about. Anticipation, expectation of how the Spirit is going to move. May Your Spirit inspire us to sing praise to You. May Your Spirit inspire us that we give thanksgiving to You. Our prayers and petitions we offer to You as a song of praise, a sacrifice of praise and worship. May we worship together this morning in Your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we lift this prayer this day. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. We're going to sing a very familiar song that you know. Lord, I lift Your name on high, and if you know the motions to it, stand up in your homes and do the motions as we sing to this song.
Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. And I want to give a shout out to our praise team today, Susan Reinheimer and Leslie Cornell, who has joined us in singing this morning. And I want to give a shout out to Gay Collins, our music minister, who has faithfully each Sunday has gathered a team to join us in worship and leading our worship. Our praise team each Sunday is comprised of members of our choir that have faithfully is assisting each Sunday morning and leading us in worship. Gay has chosen individuals to come and practice during the week and leading us in worship. So thank you, ladies, for being here this Sunday morning. And Gay has done a great job of bringing some of our choir members to help us lead in worship each Sunday morning. This morning, our praise team is going to help me and assist me in our responsive reading, and we ask that you assist in this responsive reading as well. The responsive reading will be on the screen behind me. I will be leading, reading the light print, and I ask that if you will respond by reading the dark print, and this is based on Psalm 23 as well. The Lord is our shepherd.
Not want.
When life is rushed and hectic, and there's never enough time for all we have to do.
Lord, speak to us of green fields and still waters, and calm our souls.
When we are tempted into the easy, comfortable way of going along with the crowd, even if that behavior is selfish and uncaring.
Lord, guide us into the paths of true and honest living.
When our days are filled with pain and sorrow, our own or that of others, and the fear of death is strong.
Lord, be with us and grant us your strength to face the future with courage.
When we have to meet hostility face to face.
Lord, keep us safely in your care. And guide us as we defend your faith.
When we have a great need of your love.
Lord, pour your blessings into our lives.
When we are in need of your forgiveness.
Lord, reassure us with your goodness and mercy, and remind us that you are with us forever.
The Lord is our shepherd.
We shall not be in want.
Amen.
Our next hymn is Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. To love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Life is worth the living. greater still, the calm assurance this child can face a certain test because he lives, because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he
draw closer, as unfortunately we still do not know when, but as we draw closer to a time where we will be able to gather back here at First Baptist Elon, in the planning phases that we as a church are undergoing, we will be holding some important meetings coming up in the next few weeks. And I did want to make you aware as a church body of some of the meetings that will be taking place. And in a couple weeks, not this coming week, but the next week, we will be holding some Zoom meetings for some of our teams here at First Baptist Elon. Our vision leadership team will be meeting on Monday, May 11th at 7 p.m. All these meetings will be taking place via Zoom. That platform to do some discussion, take some discussion as we start getting back into gear of some of these meetings and planning meetings that we need to take place. And some of the discussions we'll be having is when we get back here and meeting back here, some of the preparation and planning that will need to be taking place so we are able to meet in a healthy and safe environment here at First Baptist Elon. But I did want to make you aware of some of these meetings. So on Monday, May 11th at 7 p.m., the Vision Leadership Team will be meeting via Zoom. Our deacons will be meeting coming up on Tuesday, May 12th at 7 p.m., those two meetings will be taking place during the week on Monday, May 11th and Tuesday, May 12th. Our church council will be meeting on Sunday, May 17th at 4 o'clock. And each of those meetings, I will be setting up via Zoom, and I will be sending out the information, the codes and the passwords for those meetings to the respective members of those teams or the vision leadership team or the chairpersons for those teams will be sending out the information for those teams. So know those that information will be coming to you in the next week or so, so you're able to join those team meetings. If you have any questions about those respective meetings, please contact the church office or contact the chairpersons for those teams. Just wanted to make you aware of some of those meetings that are coming up. Also, some of the things that are going on that you may not be aware of, but that you may want to participate in. Gay is leading on Thursday nights. The choir is getting together via Zoom. She's had meetings the last two Thursday nights. Now, she will not be having a meeting this coming Thursday night because Gay will be going to West Virginia to help Jonathan pack up his belongings because Jonathan will be moving in a couple weeks, actually, to a new location as he continues his ministry up in West Virginia as a pastor. But so be in prayer for Gay as she travels this week and assists him in getting ready to move his ministry location. But so she won't be having a meeting this Thursday, but she will be picking back that meeting time up next Thursday, the following Thursday. So if you're interested in that, please contact Gay, and she'll be sending out information about those meetings for the choir. They meet on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., and so there's information there. We also have a couple of our Sunday school classes are meeting via Zoom, usually on Sundays. Sometimes the groups meet during the week as well. So if you have any want some information about those meetings, please contact the church office, and I will put you in contact with those Sunday school leaders, and you can connect with them if you're wanting to connect via Bible studies with those Sunday school classes. So lots of activity going on right now already, but lots of activity coming up in the next week or two in regards to planning and preparation for when we gather and come back together as a church body here at First Baptist Elon. Lots of planning teams coming up for those meetings. So just wanted to give you some updates on about what's going on in the coming weeks. Again, we're not sure when we'll be able to gather back here at First Baptist Elon, but we are doing some prep work, some footwork for when that time takes place. But so if you have any questions, please contact the church office, and I'll be willing to update you on some of those things. But be informed about those meetings. If you're part of those teams, that information will be coming out in this next week for that contact information for those Zoom meetings.
You
hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that he prays. You
pray with me. Father, as we seek to prepare our hearts and our minds to encounter your word this morning, as we come to you in this hour, as we come to you in this time, we just ask that whatever we're carrying, whatever distractions or obstacles, whatever we have brought to this time of worship that may be preventing us from solely focusing on you, may we drop them right now. May we place them at your feet. May we drop them at the altar, and not the altar here, Father, but wherever we gather, when we're in the presence of you, we are at that altar, Father, and may we drop them and confess that maybe we haven't been ready, but we're ready right now. Maybe this week we haven't been ready to walk with you. Maybe we haven't been walking in the direction that you would have us go. Maybe we haven't been following you. Maybe we've been running from you, Father, but now we are ready. Now we are attentive. Now we are in the presence of the risen Lord. And our focus is on you right now, right here, right in this moment. Teach us, move us, Father. We're ready. Father, we come with clean hearts and clean minds and clean lips, and we're ready to be moved. That's why we're here. That's why we've gathered here for worship. And for all our shortcomings, we know that you forgive us. And that you're ready to teach. And Father, for that we give thanks. Amen. this morning. I want to thank you again for joining us in our time of worship this morning. I want you to thank you for celebrating Easter with us again. Oftentimes we think about Easter as just that one Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday morning, and we kind of leave Easter until the next year. But in the Christian church, we're called to celebrate the risen Lord for a period of time after the tomb is empty. And we are still in the season of Easter where we're called to celebrate the risen Lord for many Sundays. And we are here on the fourth Sunday of Easter, and we are celebrating the risen Lord. And we're been looking at those appearances of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, to his disciples over the last few weeks. And this Sunday, in this sermon series called Finding Christ in Unexpected Places, we've been looking at where Jesus has been revealing himself to the disciples in some unique circumstances. And in each one of these circumstances, in each one of these encounters, we've been looking at the emotions of the disciples and where Jesus has been meeting them. That first Sunday, after Resurrection Sunday, we saw Jesus appearing to the disciples behind locked doors, doors that had been closed. The disciples as a group were huddled behind those doors in fear. And that's the emotion we tackled. And they were afraid because of the Roman authorities and the Jewish leaders. And Jesus appeared to them and imparted peace upon them, and gave them that gift of peace, that offering of peace, and they took that and went with that, took that offering of peace and went out and had the courage to face the day, no longer behind locked doors. And that was the first Sunday. And then last Sunday we looked at Jesus appearing to some disappointed disciples on the road to Emmaus, disappointed for who they thought Jesus was and what they thought the Messiah was supposed to be. And in that, in those emotions, Jesus transformed their thought. And in that discussion, we challenged what disappointment maybe that we might be facing in the midst of what is going on. So this Sunday, we're going to look at a little bit different occurrence. The first week, we looked at a group of disciples. Last week, we looked at two disciples. This Sunday, this morning, we're going to find Christ in the unexpected place of a one-on-one encounter, a one-on-one discussion with one of his closest disciples, Simon Peter, dealing with the unexpected emotion of regret. Regret is one of those words we often don't want to bring up, but we all have pondered on, we've all have thought about, what if I had decided to major in a different subject at college? What if I had went to a different university rather than the university that I went to? What if I had decided to focus on my grades a little bit more in high school than I did? What if I had just gone for that job rather than this job, and maybe I had ended up like that guy rather than this guy? What if I had said this to my boss rather than saying nothing at all? Or what if I really would have said to my boss what I really wish I would have said to my boss? Or I really wish I wouldn't have forgotten my brother's birthday. Or I really wish I wouldn't have forgotten my wife's anniversary again. Or, yes, I can't believe I bought a pink SUV. Man, that was a poor decision. Or, turning the back on my family was not the right decision. Or, putting my faith or time in alcohol or drugs, which pulled me away from my family or God, was really not a great decision. You see, regret is something that we don't like to talk about, but we sure do like to think about and ponder on. Whether spoken or unspoken, regret has the ability to weigh us down. Think about it. Regret has the ability to sit right here on our shoulders, because this is where regret likes to sit, and it likes to weigh us down. American abolitionist poet John Greenleaf Whittier once wrote, "For all of the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." Let me repeat that. For all of the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. The power of the emotion of regret is that it keeps us transfixed on the past instead of looking ahead at the future. I think each of us can relate to this emotion, whether in the time in which we are living in right now, think about it, right now, what we're going through, especially, or as we reflect on our relationship with others or our relationship with God. This morning, we are going to see how the risen Lord confronted this emotion in Simon Peter head on. Simon Peter, the disciple of all disciples, the disciple who put himself above all other disciples. Just ask Simon Peter. He would tell you that. We're going to look at this emotion of regret, whether Simon Peter wanted to admit it or not, and we're going to see how Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, offered forgiveness and a renewed sense of purpose and shifted the focus of regret, looking at the past, and how he shifted it to focusing on the future, and how it can shift our focus on the future today. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 19. Now this is a small chunk of verses in a larger resurrection, post-resurrection appearance. The words will be displayed behind me this morning on the screen if you'd like to follow along with me. We have been moving around in the Gospels. We kind of been jumping around to look at some of these resurrection appearances of Jesus. We have been moving around to kind of get a glimpse at some of how each of these Gospel writers like to portray Jesus and how to capture some of the emotions that the disciples have been going on. So I've had to kind of tell you about what's been going on before these to kind of give you a sense of what the emotions of the larger disciple groups is going on. So before we get to our passage this morning, just to kind of catch you up, in the Gospel of John, this is the third time that the risen Lord has appeared to the disciples, okay? This is the third resurrection appearance of Jesus. Now, right before our passage we get to today, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were not given the names. They are going out fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. Now, you might be wondering, why are they going fishing after Jesus has already appeared to the disciples two times before? We don't have the answer for that. We don't know why the disciples are going out fishing. They were still a little kind of discombobulated, if you want to use a great big term for it. They were still a little confused about what they were supposed to do after Jesus died and after Jesus rose from the dead. They really didn't know what their purpose was in life. And that's going to hold a key to this appearance to Simon Peter. So hold on to that. So they have gone out fishing into the Sea of Tiberias. They've returned to what they knew best. Remember, Simon Peter was a fisherman. And so he's returned to what he knew best. They are having little success on the sea that day. They haven't caught much of anything. Now, Jesus appears on the shore and tells them to throw the net on the opposite sides of the boat. Now, if you know fishermen, fishermen do not like to be told what to do. Amen to that? Amen. Now, I am not a fisherman, but I knew fishermen in my family, and they do not like to be told where to cast their line. That is the worst thing you can do to a fisherman. Well, Jesus on the shore tells them to throw the net on the other side. Fortunately, they recognized who Jesus was. They threw the net on the other line, and they caught a bunch of fish. A bunch of fish. And it was so many fish they caught, they could hardly pull the nets in. Well, they recognized that it was Jesus on the shore. And so what does Simon Peter do? Simon, when he realized who it was, one of the other disciples had to tell Simon Peter who it was. Simon Peter jumps in the water and swims to shore like any good fisherman was. He left the work for the other disciples to do, to pull the nets in. Simon Peter jumps into the water, swims to shore. All the disciples pull the fish in. They bring this great catch in. Jesus has prepared a fire on the shore, and Jesus eats breakfast with the disciples on that shore that morning, on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. Now, this brings us to the passage that we're going to read this morning. So this morning we're reading John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. And like I said, you can follow along with me. The words will be on the screen right behind me. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now, we're going to ask the same kind of questions we've been asking each week. We've been asking three questions, and the first question we're asking is this: who are we without the risen Lord? To understand who Simon Peter is without the risen Lord, we have to remember who Simon Peter was to Jesus among the disciples. Simon Peter was one of the first disciples called by Jesus. Simon Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. You remember the close three? Simon Peter, James, and John. Simon Peter was the spokesperson for the disciples group. Simon Peter was one of the three who was on top of the mountain at the Transfiguration. Simon Peter was one of the disciples Jesus turned to for guidance for the other disciples. Simon Peter was the quote-unquote self-appointed willing martyr for Jesus, or so he believed. When he told Jesus at his foot washing in John chapter 13 that he would follow Jesus anywhere, "I will lay down my life for you." However, Jesus' reply was that Simon Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crows. We all remember that story, right? Well, Simon Peter wished he would forget that. Isn't there things that we wish we could forget? Remember that regret sitting on our shoulders? You see, that very night, despite Peter cutting off an ear of the servants of one of the high priest's guard, Simon Peter would deny Jesus, his leader, Jesus, his teacher, Jesus, his best and closest friend, three times in John chapter 18. And what did this create in Simon Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples? Remember that on your shoulders? It created regret. Now, I would contend that this emotion of regret guided Simon Peter's actions from this point forward to our gospel story, even today. Do you want to know what drove Simon Peter running to the empty tomb? Yes, the fact that the body of Jesus wasn't there, that helped guide him there, but that underlying emotion of regret drove his legs to the tomb that resurrection Sunday morning. Can't you imagine when the risen Lord appeared behind locked doors for the disciples, that the first resurrection appearance for the disciples, that regret was still weighing on Simon Peter's shoulders? Don't you think that was eating at his soul, and that Simon Peter wished he could have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus, the risen Lord? And don't you think the regret that Simon Peter had was not just one-fold, but two-fold? The one-fold was the denial that actually the words that came out of his mouth, but the second was the fact that he wasn't there to stand side by side with the risen Lord, not just the risen Lord at that time, but his best friend when he was being arrested and crucified. Because that's what Simon Peter had promised that he would do. Not just his words, but his lack of action. Regret weighing on Simon Peter's shoulders. Who was Simon Peter without the risen Lord? Simon Peter was literally swimming in regret. That's why Simon Peter jumped out of the boat in the Sea of Tiberias. Because he wanted to get to the shore that morning to be with Jesus. He needed to have that one-on-one conversation with Jesus. Who are we without the risen Lord? Oftentimes we are looking in the past, living in the regret for words we said, actions that we should have taken, or actions that we did take. Instead of seeing the risen Lord is waiting right there for us, we look in the past. But fortunately, that's not the end of the story. That brings us to our second question. What does the risen Lord have to offer us? Jesus knew the regret that Simon Peter was feeling. So after enjoying breakfast with the group of disciples, Jesus engaged Simon Peter in a one-on-one conversation. Now, Jesus' goal was not to call out Simon Peter for the wrongdoing. His goal was not to call him out for the denial that Simon Peter had. His goal was not to call him out for his inaction. Jesus did not want to punish Simon Peter. That wasn't about punishing him for his regret. Simon Peter had already been punishing himself. Think about the weight of regret that Simon Peter had put on his own shoulders. Oftentimes we punish ourselves enough for looking in the past. God wants to offer us something because we have a contrite heart. That is the offering that Jesus brings to Simon Peter on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias that morning. The offering he brought to Peter was forgiveness. What a sweet word. Forgiveness. And with that forgiveness, he established a new relationship. He didn't reestablish the relationship that was there before. That's not what Simon Peter needed. He didn't need the same relationship that was there before Jesus had died. He needed a new relationship. Because when Jesus died on the cross, newness was created. It wasn't like the old. He needed something new. And that's what Simon Peter needed, even though Simon Peter didn't realize it. But that's what the risen Lord offered. The risen Lord was not making a relationship that was old. He was making something new. That's how forgiveness works. We are changed because God changes us. We are made new. Three times Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" The two terms in Greek that are used here for love, two times it's agape. We all are familiar with that Greek term. The other term he uses, philo, phileo, which is a deepness and a completeness. The love terms that are indicated here is a unique and deep kind of love. Jesus is saying, you just don't love me fully, but it's completely. It's an intimacy. It's a mutual love. And this is the love that Jesus is offering Simon Peter. And this is what he's offering us too. Jesus is establishing a new relationship with Simon Peter that was deeper and more intimate than what they had before. This is a deeper and kind of love that before it was based on something that Simon Peter was willing to deny and not follow up on. Now it was something that Simon Peter was willing to go all the way that would cost him his very life. This is something that the risen Lord knew. Simon Peter did not know yet, but it would. The second offering that the risen Lord offers Simon Peter is one that his regret had blinded him from. It was a new vision for the future. After each question about Simon Peter's love for him, Jesus responds with, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." On the outset, they may seem like simple, contrite little answers, but the risen Lord is setting the stage for a future purpose for Simon Peter. Follow me, shepherd my flock, wherever it will lead, wherever it may go. Simon Peter did not know that Jesus was setting stage for the future, something that we can be thankful for today. Jesus warned that it would cost him his life, but Simon Peter would now be up for the challenge. The risen Lord is ready to spend one-on-one time with us, just like he was ready to spend one-on-one time with Simon Peter that morning. That is the amazing thing about our God. He cares enough about us that he wants that one-on-one time. He is ready to offer us the same forgiveness that he offered Simon Peter that morning. Are we ready for it? Or are we ready to wallow in the regret that Simon Peter was wallowing in? There is no regret that we may be holding on to or looking back on that he is not ready to take the weight away from us. Are we ready to give it to him? Are we ready for him to wipe it away? Words, actions, or inactions, he's ready to take it. He is ready to establish a new vision or a new future for us if we're just ready to turn our direction and stop looking in the past and start turning towards the present and the future. Are we willing to do it? It may seem easier to keep looking in the past. But I can tell you what, it sure does get tiring. That brings us to our third question. What are we able to do with the offering of forgiveness and new purpose? Simon Peter took the forgiveness that the risen Lord offered him and in this renewed relationship, and he lived a life of love, discipleship, and ultimate sacrifice for him. Was this life easy for Simon Peter? No, it wasn't. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy, but was it worth it? Undoubtedly. The risen Lord's new vision for Simon Peter was to become the foundation for the church today. We are here because of that conversation on the Sea of Tiberias 2,000 years ago. And praise God that Simon Peter was willing to take it. Think about it. The legacy that he left is the reason why we are here. Do you think Simon Peter would say it was worth it? Do you think that conversation he had with the risen Lord on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias created a new vision for the future? I would say without a doubt. That's how important it is for us to take the offerings of forgiveness and a purpose for the future, a renewed purpose. That's how important it is. Instead of what if, it turns into what will be with the risen Lord. I don't know about you, I would much rather have my eyes focus on the future rather than focus on the past, especially what we're going on right now. Do we want to keep our eyes focused on the last 3 months, or rather than focus on what the next 3 months hold? Because if I'm looking back at the last 3 months, I see a lot of pain. I see a lot of hurt. I see a lot of question. I see a lot of doubt. I see a lot of regret. But as I look forward, I see a lot of potential. I see a lot of hope. I see a lot of love. I see a lot of grace. I see a lot of forgiveness. Which way do you want to look? I want to look forward. Don't get caught looking in the past, missing what the risen Lord is ready to offer right now in the present and what's in the future. Regret has the power to consume us. It can blind us to what God is trying to do and what God is trying to speak to us right now in the present. Simon Peter was allowing regret to consume him for 3 or 4 straight days. We're not sure when this event happens in the story of the resurrection. We're not sure if this was 2 or 3 days in. We're not really told. All we know is this was some short time after Jesus rose from the dead. But what we do know is this: regret was consuming Simon Peter. And we do not know how long regret would have consumed Simon Peter. But Jesus, the risen Lord, did not allow it to consume him anymore. He used that one-on-one conversation and he changed his life through forgiveness and a new purpose. And he'll do the same for us right now on this day if we'll allow him to. Don't let regret consume you and weigh you down. Give it to God today. Today's the day. Wherever you are, whatever regret is holding you down, whatever regret is consuming you, on this day, give it to Him. He's ready for that one-on-one conversation. Right now, on this day, give it to Him right now. As we close this morning, as Gay comes up to lead us in our last song, as we prepare for our closing hymn, we're just going to have a couple moments of silence as our worship team comes and gets ready to sing our invitation hymn as we prepare for our closing prayer. Just in a moment of silence right now, whatever regret you're holding on to, close your eyes in this moment wherever you are. Whatever is weighing on your minds and your hearts, whatever's lying on your shoulders and weighing you down right now, give it to God. Give it to God. Don't let it go past this day right now. Simon Peter was being weighed down and Jesus took it from him. The risen Lord met him where he was, met him on the Sea of Tiberias, and wherever you are right now, give it to him. Give it to him today. Today is the day. It doesn't need to be tomorrow. It doesn't need to be the next day or next week or next month. He's ready to take it from you. He's ready to give you forgiveness, offer you that same forgiveness that he offered Simon Peter. He's ready to allow you to shift your focus towards the future. Today's the day. Father, we just give you thanks for the risen Lord offering that forgiveness to Simon Peter that day and reshifting his focus. And because of that reshifted purpose, we are standing here today. We are thankful for that new purpose that Peter found. And because of that, we can worship, we can celebrate. And we celebrate the risen Lord, that same offerings that you gave so many years ago, you give it to us today as well. Father, thank you for that opportunity. And Father, whatever regret we're carrying with us today, we give it to you. This morning, right now, in this moment, in this hour. And Father, may we shift our focus towards the future, knowing that you are guiding us. You're shifting our focus on you. And Father, as we lift up this closing hymn, may our focus be shifted and placed on you, knowing that you are the one. You are the one who directs us, and we see the hope and the promise and the grace and the love that the future holds. Father, today is the day. We lift this song and praise up to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Closing hymn is Yes, Lord, Yes.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes.
As you go out into the world this week, as you remember that the risen Lord meets us where we are, we carry that hope, that forgiveness with us, with a new purpose, with our focus on the future. Don't carry that regret with you. Let him take it. Let him take it this day. May we go in peace this morning.